You're listening to The Power Of. Join me as I dive deep into one topic each episode and explore the power behind it to help us live our best lives. Tune in for interviews with guests who are thought leaders in their field as they shed light into their unique superpowers. Or when I fly solo, I'll share some of mine. So get comfy, get ready, and let's do this. Hi everyone, I am so excited to be back. Sorry for the hiatus. For those of you that don't know me super well, I am a school social worker. So getting back into the swing of things at the start of the school year can be a little hectic. So hence my couple of weeks not being on here with you guys, more like a month. But in the meantime, I did record some more episodes, including today's episode with Lisa from The Well Necessities. I'm so excited to share the episode with you guys. I think that it is a gem and it's super relatable, and I think that you guys are going to absolutely love it. But before I get into a couple of things about the episode, just a reminder, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast and you like what you're hearing or what you've heard so far, then I would highly encourage you guys to go on over, hit the subscribe button, rate it for me, give me 5 stars. Yay! Because you love me. No, I'm just kidding. Because, maybe you love the podcast. So yeah, I would really appreciate if you guys could go on over there and show me some love. As always, if you're not following me on Instagram, that's a great place to connect at The Power Of Pod. I'll put that in the show notes. But it's also a good place if there's stuff that you guys want to hear about, guests that you guys would really be anxious to have onto the show. I have a couple of pending arrangements with some really amazing leaders in all different areas. So I'm really looking forward to getting those podcasts recorded, edited, and out to you guys. But in the meantime, Lisa from The Well Necessities is the bomb. She is a nutritionist, a dietitian, a registered dietitian rather, and she's just a plethora of amazing information, not only about, you know, standard nutrition and the things that we are raised to know about nutrition, but she has such a beautiful way of blending nutrition and overall wellness so that we don't get sucked into being obsessed with our bodies and being obsessed with making the right choice or the wrong choice and not knowing what the right or the wrong choice is for us. She does a really, really good job in this episode today of explaining to us what modern mindful eating is, which is very different from mindfulness eating. It's a whole new concept. I'm like really excited for you guys to learn about it. There's going to be a lot of information in today's show notes about Lisa herself, the work she does, but also Fork the Noise Fundamentals. It's a course that she offers. I took it. It was really helpful in deciphering inner noise, inner wisdom, outer noise, outer wisdom, some of the things that kind of get in the way of us empowering ourselves to make our own food decisions, empowering ourselves to make our own decisions about our bodies. So I'm really excited to have Lisa explain to you a little bit more about what Fork the Noise is, and also talking about our relationships to our bodies, our relationships to food, and how that can kind of parallel sometimes to the relationship we take to our life and to our life choices. So again, make sure to tune in, listen to the end, because she gives so much information, you're not going to want to miss any of it. And then when you're done, go on over to Instagram, show myself some love, show Lisa some love, and anything else that you want to share. I'm open, I'm all ears. But without further ado, I want you guys to enjoy this episode. So here is Lisa. Okay, Lisa, I am so pumped to be chatting with you today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on your podcast, Nicole.
I know. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you got a ton going on.
Oh, my pleasure to connect with you and your audience.
Yeah. Before we get into all the goods and all the fun things that the audience is going to learn from you, if you could just take a moment and introduce yourself, just in case they don't know who you are yet.
Perfect. So I'm Lisa. I'm a registered dietitian and a wellness blogger. My blog, my business is The Well Necessities or thewellnecessities.com. And I help people learn tools to listen to their bodies and empower them to make decisions really about life, but it all starts with food, out of a place of desire rather than fear, where many women currently live.
I love that. Desire versus fear. That's pretty on point.
Yeah, it's difficult to do nonetheless. So a big part of that is kind of, you know, sifting through the weeds and not just saying listen to your body, but providing real tools to be able to do that. And it all starts with what I say is, you know, forking the noise or quieting the noise, which means learning to get quiet from the inside and the out to make that empowered decision.
Yeah, yeah. And I was actually going to bring this up because I love the term fork the noise. I think number one, it's catchy, but it's super relevant. And because it's so confusing for us as consumers in the present day to even figure out like what works best for us sometimes, because there are so many conflicting messages out there in our society.
Yeah, I think it's confusing for everybody, not just the general consumer. I think the noise is pretty much everywhere. It's really infiltrated, you know, whether you're in your early 20s or high school, you know, who has a lot of access to social media, or perhaps you're older and have a job and there's people at your office that are telling you what they're eating and what's working. And, you know, my point is just basically that it doesn't matter who you are. It's really easy, even as a professional, to get wrapped up in what other people are doing. And to see that, you know, if somebody's bragging about what they're doing, kind of see that as a possible solution for you. But I try to keep people on track and recognizing that their own needs are always going to be unique. And as life changes, from careers to where you live to phases of life, you know, they're very different to be in your teens versus young 20s versus late 20s to motherhood to whatever, you know, there's all these different things that pop up. So staying static with your diet even is probably not going to work from your early 20s into your even late 20s. So that's the importance of being able to listen to your body, because when you have that as a guide, you kind of clear up a lot of the confusion and you don't waste time really on trying to figure out, you know, what worked for Susie, the wellness blogger, when you know that that doesn't work for you.
Yeah, I love that. It's almost like your true north, right? You can kind of like tap back into it.
Exactly. And it's hard to do. And yeah. I think we're constantly in a state of always having to tap back into our true north, you know, like staying on path, never getting lost isn't possible for a lifetime because of what I just said. There's all these changing things and it can be really frustrating when something used to work and doesn't work. And it's easy to latch on to trying something new. But when you ultimately do not just trust your body, but you've made peace with it, understanding how it communicates with you and its needs and being able to trust it becomes a lot easier than it feels. And of course, I know this from personal experience, but also from working with clients for the last 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know with my own history of, you know, disordered eating, the noise, it's really distracting. You speak about inner noise and then also outer noise in the fork the noise fundamentals. Can you give us an example of like inner noise versus outer noise?
Yeah, sure. And just to, you know, your listeners, I didn't mention this. I have an online course called Fork the Noise. It's a course that I launched this year, and I basically took the working principles from working one-on-one with my clients to bring this to an online platform. So it's a 5-week course. It's a modern mindfulness course. So it's about learning mindfulness techniques that really help to translate what your body says to you, how it communicates. And I called it Fork the Noise, and the two types of noise that you speak of are inner and outer. So outer we've covered a little bit so far in our very quick podcast, outer being, you know, Susie, the wellness blogger, your coworker at work who's doing a juice cleanse, maybe even Dr. Oz, you know, an expert on TV, maybe even your own doctor who gives you information that doesn't work for you. Anything can contribute to outer noise. And inner noise are those voices in your head, those that voice that's doubting you, that voice that is telling you that you're not enough. And they're both two powerful voices, but the first step in modern mindfulness in general is to be able to recognize the noise. Because if we're not recognizing either any of this as noise, we become engulfed in it and believe what it is. So I was just writing a blog post. It's not out yet, but it'll probably be out by the time your podcast is out, about how it's really easy to fall prey to your inner noise. So I always hear people online talking about, you know, your inner critic. And I often hear I've often heard the advice, would you say to somebody else what you say to yourself? Usually it's an example of, you know, would you say this to a friend of yours? And while that's really helpful advice, I caught myself in a moment just yesterday so taken down by my inner critic that, yes, it would have been really helpful to use that exercise to say to myself, would you say this to a friend? But when you're actually going through the inner critic, you don't recognize that there's any other way to be, that there could be any other sort of reality other than what that voice is saying. So just to sort of highlight how powerful that is. And, you know, in case you don't read the blog or, you know, your listeners don't, it was a very funny story. I was in the middle of a yoga class and it was a great class. And I was just like flowing and I was in that meditative trance that, you know, hopefully most of your listeners have experienced. And if they haven't, if they don't know what I mean, I encourage everybody to sort of like find their yoga practice. And it's not easy to sort of get to this place where all of a sudden yoga isn't a chore. It just is like this meditative therapeutic place. So right. I was in that beautiful flow that yoga can get you into. And I haven't been there in a while, that place of that state of mind. And then all of a sudden I was like jolted into reality and I sort of just like lost where I was in time and space. And I was no longer in that flow. And I looked back on like the last 2 minutes where I don't know how long it was really, where I like fell out of what the teacher was saying. And I was just looking, it's so silly, but I was looking at my knees and I was noticing like the skin on them. And I was just like pulling them up, trying to make them look, it sounds really silly, trying to make them look less wrinkly and like less old. And in that moment, I had this like stark realization of like, oh my God, I just got totally wrapped up in my inner critic. And it was like this microcosmic experience of what the inner critic does, because I felt panicked. I felt my hormones changing, my neurotransmitters in that moment were scared. Like, and I was all consumed by the thoughts of my knees, you know, and this is how many people, what many people experience with their bodies when it comes to shape or fatness or whatever. And literally, quite literally, I got left behind, right? Like the entire class kept going. And I looked up and I had no idea where I was in sequence. I was no longer flowing to the teacher and I just got wrapped up. And it was like, this is like so literal as to what happens to other people, but also so metaphorical as to the impact on ourselves. Like it's so easy to live small and not do what our passions, to live out our passions, because we're swept up with this false sense of reality that our inner critic creates. I don't know if that story translates well.
Yeah, no, it does. And I'm glad you shared it, because what it does, it highlights that it really can rob us of the present moment.
Yes, rob us and leave us behind. Like, yeah. You're losing the moment, you're losing the future.
Right.
People that are in flow or living out their purposes I think it's not that they're super confident or that they're narcissistic or love themselves. I think they just are really good at separating themselves from their inner critic. And that doesn't mean that they don't have self-doubt. I think we all have self-doubt, and it's really normal and a good thing. It's a protective mechanism. But I think they're really good at pausing and inserting confidence, and also have a self-worth that's not tied to something that can be robbed like them, you know, not tied to the way that they look, you know. That's because while there is a certain level of that we can control, you know, we're all aging. We're not always going to be beautiful young beings. Mm-hmm. And having your self-worth tied up into any way that you look, whether that be, I just want to sort of back up for a second, because I think that an important sort of counter argument to what I'm saying is, like, it's important to feel strong and nourish your body, and it's okay to feel confident because of the work you put into your body, whether that be through healthy choices or exercise. I think it's important to make sure that that's on a spectrum, and that not all of your worth is tied up into the way you look, because there's just always going to be levels that you can't control. And it's very easy to get caught up in the it's never enough mindset, whether that be strong enough or skinny enough or toned enough or whatever that is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, there's a lot of empowerment that comes with, you know, moving your body in a certain way that feels good to you, or making choices that feel good to you, right? But it's that fine line of when we're doing it from, like you said in the beginning, a place of desire or love versus when we're coming out of this place of fear.
Yeah, and it's really hard to I think, like, decipher as an individual, because it's great to be proud of your body and the work that you put in it. But it's also easy to allow that to become your identity and to stop living as a result of trying to foster or maintain the way that it looks, right? Like, so many people are, I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten this summer from people that just so badly want to be present at their family's barbecue over, you know, the weekends, but they can't because they would rather, they think that they would rather eat healthy, whatever that means to them. And losing control is usually associated with these fun experiences. And I think that that's not necessarily true. And even just them reaching out, asking for help, lets me know that they know that that's not true. They just need a boost of confidence to know that they can go out there and still accomplish their goals and also have fun and be present with their families or friends. On, you know, that's where memories are made, over these good times. And you really miss out when you hide from that.
Yeah, it's true. I know personally, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can identify with times that we've all missed out on things because of that, because of the fear of letting go, or you know, what we look like or what we're going to be eating or not eating. Yeah. You bring up a really good point in about balance. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of, you know, being able to have pride in what you look like, or not what you look like, rather, but your health or your the things that you're doing for your body.
Yeah, and it's great to feel proud of your body, you know, whether you're proud of a flaw on your body or something that you don't see as a flaw. You know, maybe it's definition in your arm muscle, mm-hmm. you know, you've been putting time at the gym and it, you know, is reflected in the way that you look. You look strong, which makes you feel strong. All that's totally good too.
Yes, yes. And that, and also being able to make memories and be present for the activities that are going on with your family, your significant other, your friends. But, you know, it can at times be hard to navigate, like, what does balance actually mean, right? And yeah. I think there's, like, almost this older generation of feeling like balance looks this certain way. What would you say to the listeners about how we can approach balance in a way that doesn't then make balance this thing that we're striving for?
Okay. Well, I recently have been talking a lot about balance because I've been hearing it used as a, for lack of a better word, kind of like a cop-out, as a reason to deviate from your diet or healthy lifestyle. So, like, a lot of, like, young people will say, grab a pile of cookies, cake, alcohol, you know, call it whatever it is, and say, oh, well, balance, you know, that's how I stay healthy. And I think that this perpetuates the idea that healthy living, whatever you're doing, you know, Monday through Friday, is really difficult and not fun or enjoyable. And that the only way to sustain it is through these, you know, what many will call an indulgence. And in my opinion, you know, it's great. I want to be super clear that it's great to be able to have cake, cookies, fries, alcohol, whatever it is that is your sort of like pleasure, some food. But I think that that can be woven into your daily lifestyle. And when we do, balance looks like actual balance. You know, if you picture a scale, right, like in balance, there's not much movement on the left and on the right, right? Mm-hmm. But balance in how we're using it is kind of like making the scale fall heavy all the way to the left and then pushing it all the way to the right. So kind of like more like a seesaw, right? Like up and down and up and down. And really what we want is that balance where the seesaw lays flat, a little bit down, a little bit up. You know what I mean? Like less of this completely different two lifestyles that you're managing back and forth, because it's not only harmful for the mind, but it's actually not good for the body either. So while I have no problem with, again, cakes, cookies, fries, alcohol, whatever it is, I do have a problem with binging on cakes, cookies, alcohol, whatever, fries, for the sake of, and then chalking that up to balance, right? Because that doesn't feel good. That makes Monday all the more harder. All the more difficult, all the more, whatever, a bit more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally understand what you're saying, because it feeds into almost like that restrict binge cycle.
Foods into your daily healthy living, which you should enjoy. If you're living a life Monday through Friday and you're considering it, you know, healthy choices, but it's too hard to sustain on the weekend, then that's not the right version of healthy for you. Because your body should be enjoying and asking you for the things that it needs. And that's truly what health is. And therefore, it becomes a lot more effortless than how we sort of treat it right now.
I love that. You're right. It makes perfect sense. And I think when we're trying so hard to achieve that hashtag balance, it feels forced, and it doesn't feel like you spoke about, like, natural for our own unique bodies and what we're particularly wanting on a day-to-day basis.
Right. I'm sorry. You cut out for 1 second. I muted my computer, but also muted you, I saw. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I love what you said about how if it's something you can't maintain all week and it's a struggle, right? And then you feel like on the weekends you have to kind of say F it and lose control, so to speak, quote unquote. It kind of perpetuates that restrict binge cycle over and over.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a cycle that, again, that's where I think mindfulness comes in, because mindfulness is kind of seeing things from this. Sorry, we have to deal with the dinging, otherwise I'm going to mute you by accident.
It's okay.
We have to see things with mindfulness. We have to kind of see things from this like overview, kind of look down, take a step back, and instead of getting wrapped up in that cycle of binging, restriction. And by the way, restriction doesn't necessarily need to mean like caloric restriction at this point. Restriction could just be restricting food groups. It could be, you know, eating paleo on the weekdays and then not being paleo on the weekends, whatever it is. But in order to sort of recognize that this cycle is happening, we need to see the cycle and then take an active stance to be like, okay, this has been happening for weeks, months, years. I don't want to be part of this cycle anymore. There's an easier way, but you need to believe that there's an easier way to find it. And I promise, you know, any listener right now that there truly is an easier way, and food and lifestyle and having fun and making memories are not all things that need to be, you know, mutually exclusive. They're much easier to accomplish and then we sort of have chalked them up to be.
Yeah, I love that. What does food freedom mean to you?
Food freedom to me means being able to listen to your body and deviate from your norm. But again, that norm is really not something that needs to be prescribed. It's something that sort of just generally happens. So I recently, you know, I told people that I wrote an Instagram post about what food freedom means to me. And while it means, you know, being able to have your cake, cookies, again, fries, alcohol, whatever your indulgences are, it also means recognizing that your body may be telling you to have kale or spinach or salmon or one of those things that are kind of, you know, deemed healthy and good for you. I think that the how Instagram presents food freedom creates this really polarized view of dietitians and health professionals that are diet or anti-diet. And while there is a lot of truth to that, food freedom to me doesn't need to mean it means that you're eating without food rules, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're eating cakes and cookies and donuts all day long. In fact, when you're truly listening to your body and you're deeply connected to what it's asking you for, you may find that you do want the salad over the sandwich, but you're not making that decision because you think sandwiches are bad because they have more bread than, you know, a salad, which is lower in carbs. So it's really being able to live your life without the noise. And combined what I call inner and outer wisdom, which are two mindful eating approaches. Inner wisdom being, what is my body telling me? And outer wisdom being, what is this food good for? How does this food make me feel? And so it's not about abandoning nutrition. It's about bringing it in a way that is connecting your mind and body together. Sorry, it's a long-winded answer.
No, but it's perfect. You covered a lot in there. I think something that really stood out to me is that it's more so our relationship to food that matters more than the food that we eat.
Yes, 100%. But I just want to also use that opportunity to clear up that when you start listening to your body, which is something that, you know, people have a lot of resistance to because they believe that if they start to, you know, listen to their body will tell them to just eat and eat and never stop eating. So knowing that your body isn't going to ask for all these foods that you think that you need rules to not eat is really empowering. And that's where food freedom sort of comes in. And it ends up, you know, again, it's presenting it itself on Instagram as skinny girls eating pizza. But that's sort of like the food freedom aspect that we want to show off because it's so shocking that you can eat these foods without the guilt, without maybe even the weight gain for a lot of people. So just knowing that on the other side of listening to your body is not becoming, you know, a body that you hate is really empowering. And it gives people the confidence maybe to try out what it would feel like to make peace with their bodies.
Yeah, it's definitely empowering for sure, for sure. And it's interesting because I would agree that diet culture is almost like robbed to an extent. It's kind of like robbed all of these really nutritious foods and termed them, you know, this is quote unquote just healthy, which it is. But we have to almost reclaim, like, we can eat all of those really nutritious and healthy foods and it doesn't have to mean that we're on a diet.
100%. And when you start listening to your body, I know it's super shocking and sounds ridiculous, but your body will ask you for the good stuff. And the good stuff, I don't mean like good, bad. I just mean the nutritious stuff because that's what it needs. It needs that to feel really good and thrive. And so it's going to be asking you for whole foods, real foods. I really believe in the power of real foods and our bodies craving them. But in order to sort of connect those dots, you need to maybe give in to giving it a donut when it also is just in the mood for a donut. And I also just want to disclaim that the power of food freedom is that it allows you to eat foods, not necessarily when your body's asking for them exactly. Like there are just some moments where, like we're talking about at the barbecue, right? Maybe you're not craving a hamburger or desiring a hamburger, a cheeseburger, whatever. But having that cheeseburger with your family is going to allow you to make that memory and be present far more than grabbing maybe the kale salad that you prepped from home. And so that's also one of the really important factors of food freedom, where it's not just about listening to your body. It's about making the choice in that moment that's going to allow you to live out your values and what you care about. And so you don't need a reason to always go for that food other than you're in the mood for it or everyone else is doing it. Like, those are all valid reasons. Social normalcy are all valid reasons to eat.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it's not just about practical hunger, but about all the other facets, like social connection, emotional, you know, emotional eating is not, it gets such a bad rap, but sometimes we do eat because of our emotions. We're human beings, right?
Yeah, I love that you brought that up and said that so well as well. I think that emotional eating to certain extents, you know, are problematic, or do you have other tools in your toolbox? Are you covering up emotions? Are you feeling worse after you emotionally eat? Or is that something that you do once in a while and it helps to just sort of get you through a hard time, right? Like, in my opinion, it sure beats alcohol or drugs to use food as a coping mechanism. Do I think that it should be used as your only coping mechanism? Definitely not. I think that that's really is going to look different person to person. But I think that emotional eating kind of gets this overall bad reputation, whereas emotional eating isn't the worst thing in the entire world in many situations.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen that quote about normal eating.
Tell me? No.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to link it in the show notes. And okay. It's just, it's beautiful the way it's written. It's like normal eating is, you know, 3 meals a day or sometimes 5 or 6. And it's eating an extra cookie because it tastes good, or not having it so you can have room for more tomorrow. It's just a really beautiful explanation of how normal eating can look. So I'll send that to you. But for our listeners, I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, love that.
Really good. Yeah.
And that also allows you to soften that inner critic, going back to how we sort of began this thing, is like when you give yourself permission, you know, every magazine that we've read in the past, whether an online publication or in person, has always been, you know, how to fix your emotional eating. And so we've always kind of thought of it as this horrible, horrible thing. And in reality, you know, now that from your podcast, from this quote, from conversations like this, we could really expand our idea of emotional eating. And as a result, you know, be less hard on ourselves if it happens. Be more even intentional with it. I think it's very different to eat when you're emotional and just sort of like plow into that ice cream or whatever it is, than to say, take a step back, a mindful pause, and say, I'm going to use ice cream right now to soothe myself, even if it's just a band-aid, right? And that's how we kind of get our power back and quiet that inner noise, so that when we're sticking the spoon into the ice cream, we're not also being drowned by the inner noise of, oh my God, this is so bad for me, I'm a failure, why am I doing this? Therefore, you could actually get some pleasure out of the emotion. Let it do what you're going to it for. Get some pleasure from that food, and then recognize that after, you know, the food's eaten, you're going to have to actually deal with the emotion at hand.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we know it's really difficult to kind of let go of the rules and the fear. It can be really overwhelming. What would be one small step that our listeners can walk away with today to start to improve their relationship to food?
I think that the first thing you could do is start to identify noise around you. And that could be things that you read. It could be things that are said to you. It could be the voice in your head. And see if you can start to notice when you start to feel fearful in any way. Like, is that voice inside your head making you panic and not making you feel like enough? Is a coworker at work, you know, referring to foods as good or bad? All these things are sort of sources of noise. And so the first step in all of it, which, you know, is really my main point of Fork the Noise Fundamentals, like if in my online course, the major thing I want every student to walk away with is the ability to identify the noise in their life, because that's how we're inserting this pause and this separation between what we're either saying to ourselves or hearing versus what the truth is. And so starting to build that wall, that information gate, as I call it, like allowing what information to come in, is really powerful in reclaiming your own wisdom.
I'm signed up for this round of the Fork the Noise. I absolutely can't wait.
Very excited to see your sign up come in. I wasn't going to mention it because I keep confidentiality for every student.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so that the fact that you said that to your listeners is really empowering, because I think that the work's never done. You and I haven't worked one-on-one together, but it seems that you're at a really good place in your life with food, but it's never too late to solidify that foundation and get more tools to live your best life.
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you before we get into the quick fire rounds, is it still open for listeners or people to sign up, or?
Yeah. So it depends when this is going to come out. Do you know yet?
Yeah. I'm hoping in the next week or so. If not, I want to make sure I link all of your information in our show notes just so they can get on the wait list for the next one.
Exactly. So regardless of when you're listening, you can go to forkthenoise.com, F-O-R-K-T-H-E, N-O-I-S-E. You can link that in your show notes as well. And depending on where we are, it will either be an open cart, meaning you can register, or you can get on the wait list. So that same page will sort of, you know, depending on where we are. If people listen to your podcast, you know, as soon as it comes out, we should still be accepting. But if not, just go on the wait list or shoot me an email, and I'm happy to sort of let you know when we're going to be doing the course next.
Okay, perfect. I'll make sure to put your email, your Instagram, everything in the show notes that you just talked about.
Yeah, you can just put a hello at forkthenoise.com, and either me or a member of my team will best guide you.
Perfect. Okay, so now for the fun questions.
Yeah.
I know you're a busy girl. So what is your favorite thing to order from your hometown restaurant?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't really have a hometown restaurant. I haven't been back home in a very long time.
What about your current hometown, like where you're living right now?
Oh, where I live right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. There's a restaurant, Little Sesame, and they have amazing soft serve. It's like tahini vanilla. They like close at 8 o'clock, which is kind of early for dessert sometimes, but when I can get over there, they have the best soft serve.
And it's summertime, so it's always wonderful for a soft serve.
Exactly.
What is something super quirky about you that most people don't know?
I've said this on my Instagram a few times, but it's kind of really funny. I make my fiance sleep with straight legs when he sleeps. I don't know why. I just like freak out if he bends his legs while he sleeps. So throughout the entire night, I'm always like kicking him to straighten his legs.
Oh my gosh. You're monitoring his legs.
It's horrible. Really.
What is your favorite 90s jam?
90s jam. Was TLC 90s jam? Like Ain't No Scrubs.
Yes, they were. No Scrubs.
No Scrubs. Yeah, there we go. I don't know why that came to mind first.
That's great. And what are you curious about right now?
I'm currently curious about how to start weaving sustainable efforts into talking about food freedom. So how do we make food choices that reflect our concern for the environment while also balancing our needs and desires?
I love that.
Thank you.
And finally, Lisa, since the name of the podcast is The Power Of, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Good question. I'd kind of like to listen to everybody's inner critic, kind of hear what people are saying to themselves all day long.
Yeah, I bet you'd hear a bunch of interesting things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I could pick your brain and listen to your knowledge for hours and hours, but I know you are super busy, you have a ton of things to do, so I just want to say thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, Lisa. So much fun getting to know you a little bit better, and I know my audience is going to absolutely love this episode.
Yes, thanks for having me on. I'm honored.
Yeah, you're welcome. So before we get off, if you could just let everybody know where they can find you.
The Well Necessities, THEWELLNECESSITIES. You'll just link it below. That's my Instagram. That'll be the best place to find me.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and definitely go check her out because she has a ton of good knowledge that she's spreading on the daily.
Thank you. Thanks, Nicole. Take care.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Well, I am sure that you love that as much as I thought you would. Isn't she just so amazing. I love her. I love her. So make sure to go and follow Lisa on Instagram. I've got everything in my show notes. Your next episode will be released really, really soon. And the next guest is just as wonderful as Lisa. I'm so excited for you guys to hear that one too. But for today, once you're done, how about right now? Go rate, review, subscribe. That way you stay in the loop and you catch all the goodness from this episode till the next. Thank you guys again for being so amazing. The Power of Pod _ is on Instagram. Share the episode. Get your friends listening, your family, anybody that you think would benefit from this. She filled our minds with so much goodness. So, and some things I learned that I hadn't even been aware of when it comes to just like the inner critic and the twist on modern mindful eating. So if there's anyone in your life that you know would benefit, shout them out, give them a little bit of love, pass this along. I'm just really, really stoked that you guys continue to tune in. It makes me so happy. This is just something I love doing for fun. And in the meantime, I'm learning a ton, and hopefully you guys are learning a ton. So again, thank you. Go show me some love, and I will see you guys next time.